pastor of Noonday Missionary Baptist. She's a mom of three girls, 14, 9, and 8. She's going to talk about them, I'm sure. So I am so excited to receive from my dear, dear powerhouse of a sister, Tiffany Abernathy.
Well, that was quite an introduction. I don't think all of that is true, but some of that. I am married to Jeremy, and I do have three girls, so we'll start right there.
You are young.
I am young, I guess. I'm not always feeling it now, but I am. But I'm just thankful to be up here, for one. You know, each week I sit out here, and so this up here is totally different than what I see out there each week. But I'm thankful that God placed it on your heart, Joy, to allow me to stand up here and give a message from the Lord. So just thankful. I'm also thankful today because I have some support with me. My husband, Jeremy, yes, he is an attorney. He's also a pastor, so he can counsel you in many ways. But he had court this morning, and you can't get out of court. So he couldn't be here today, but he definitely has been my support this week and just been so kind and loving, and anything I needed, he got it. So I told him that I'm going to tell him that I'm going to be preaching again next week so he can be so kind and loving again to me. But I'm also thankful because he sent me some help. I have his mom who is here with me, my mother-in-law, Gretchen Abernathy. I'm thankful for her in itself because last year she had a stroke, and just her to be here standing is just God's blessing, and talking, walking, everything. So that's amazing testimony, God's strength. The only thing that she's not doing yet is driving, and she's itching to do that. So if you have some keys out, make sure you put them away because she might find them. But we are believing God will bring that to her. And my mom, who would have been here if she didn't have to work today, but she sent me somebody that's special to her and that has known me since I was a little girl. Her husband used to work with my mom. So Yvette, thank you so much for being here today. And I see Sister Ayers, she's at our church. So thank you guys for the support and love. I'm very thankful and grateful for that. So I'm just going to pray and then we'll get into the word. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Father God. I ask that you just hide me behind the cross, Father God. I ask that your words become my words, Father God, and that they will go forth, Father God, and that somebody will be open to receiving the word, even if it's just one person, Father God. I thank you, I praise you, and I lift you up. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Today, I want to talk with you about expectant faith. Knowing that despite whatever circumstance that you might go through, that you are expectant that God is going to work it out. I looked through the Bible and I wanted to find a situation where I saw that God had an example of expectant faith. And I found the story of Rahab. So you can find her story in Joshua. It's chapter 2. But here, particularly today, I just want to read this verse before we begin. It's Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, and Anne has that. And it says, "However, Rahab, the harlot, and her father's household, and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Rahab, we're going to talk about. But first, I know Joy loves softball. So my daughter plays softball. And back in the fall, we were playing this team in the region that was undefeated. And this was our last game of the season. And we were battling. It was the last inning. It was 0-0. And we had our number one hitter. We were at the top of our lineup at bat. So we were like, yes, there's some hope that we are going to defeat this number one undefeated team. And so Softball was not my sport. When I was in high school, I didn't play softball. I really had no clue about softball. It was like this hand-eye coordination thing. I could not figure it out. It wasn't for me. The ball was too small. Basketball was my thing. It's big enough, I can shoot it. The hole is large enough, that was my thing. So I have learned softball through my daughter, you know, and I lean on my husband. He played baseball, so I kind of go to them for advice, like, what does that mean? What does it mean? What is, you know, what am I saying? Like, how do I encourage you? I want to cheer for my daughter. What do I say? So oftentimes, I would just listen to what other parents would say. How smart of me. So if somebody said, okay, be a hitter, I would say, Haviland, be a hitter, come on, be a hitter. Or if they say, you need to choke up some on the bat, Haviland, choke up some on the bat. That sounded good to me. Well, this particular day, as our leadoff hitter was approaching the batter's box, her mom said, expect it. And that just kind of resonated with me. It stuck out. And I was like, one, what does that mean, expected? I was like, what does she mean, expected? So, of course, I had to ask my husband a little bit. But what she meant by that was, expect your pitch to come. You have to believe that it's coming. You might have to take a risk when you're in the batter's box, because there might be some pitches coming at you that are hot, that are strong, that are with a lot of fire. You might get hit, but you got to be patient enough to wait on your pitch. Expect that it's coming. And that was like, man, that is so awesome. And I said, you know what? That is exactly how we have to approach our challenges and our life. You know, last week, I loved the image. We laid it all here at the cross. And now we've got to expect that, we've got to believe that whatever we put here, God's going to deal with it. There might be some risks that we might have to take, some sacrifice to get through it, but if we're patient, God is going to get the victory. So going back to Rahab, I said, man, Rahab showed a picture of that same expectant faith. You know, the story of Rahab, if you're familiar with Rahab, she was, in the scripture it said a harlot, or she was a prostitute. She didn't have that grand of a background. She wasn't a mom with a sword, okay? She didn't come to Bible study. She didn't have everything figured out, but she did have a little bit of belief. She's also mentioned in Hebrews, in chapter 11, Hebrews, the Hall of Fame, people who stand out in their faith. So she stood out despite really having that developed relationship with God. She just took the first step, and that was belief. In Joshua chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, and I know Ann doesn't have it, but in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, or I'll go back to verse 10. It says, she says here, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. You see, when the spies came to Rahab's house, she hid the spies in her house. The spies had came to search out the land that they were about to overtake. And so she just had an instinct that said, I need to do something. I need to hide these spies. And then the king's men came looking for these spies. And when they got to Rahab's house, she was like, no, I don't know where they are. They've gone. You better catch them. I bet if you hurry, you can catch them. And so once the king's men left, she decided to have a conversation with those spies that were in the attic. And in her conversation, she said, I've heard what your God is doing. He helped you get across the Red Sea. You've defeated different battles. You've been victorious. And she was saying to herself, I believe that same God can do the same thing for me. She heard the word. And sometimes all it takes for us, our belief, is to hear the word of God. Kim sharing about the mom moments. Last week, the girl who gave a testimony about how she was believing God to change, to bring about the change in her husband. We just need to hear it, whether it's the mom moment, whether it's at church on Sunday, however it is. Hearing faith comes by hearing the word of God, and that's how we get our belief. We can't just limit it. We've got to continue in it. And also, I like in that same verse, in 11, it said, "For your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." You see, she believed that God wasn't just this powerful being that existed above the heaven and just did everything in the heaven. But she believed that this God was a God that was on the earth now. So whatever situation that was going on the earth now, that he was in control of that and that he could lead them to being victorious. Just like that softball player, when she steps up to the bat, she's got to believe that my pitch is coming, that I'm ready, I'm in the right position to receive it. I have everything I need. I am ready. I expect it. I have belief. And sometimes that takes that profession too, our words. You know, what's in our heart will come out in our mouth. And so if we believe in our heart then we could do something, then our words should certainly say that. If you put something on the cross about your husband, if you're believing God to say, "I know he can change my marriage. I know that he can fix my marriage," then you shouldn't be saying, "I hope he can." You shouldn't be saying, "Well, I said that. That's what I said." But no, I serve a mighty God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think. Belief, expect it. The next thing that I saw in Rahab's story was the risk. She took a risk. She hid spies in her home. You know, back then, if you harbored spies, you would have died. You could have, if you got caught, it would have caused death. That was a risky move that she took for herself. And then she also asked that if I don't tell that you're here and I let you get out of here safely, that you will then spare me and my entire family. So she was bold enough to not only just take a risk for herself, but she was bold enough to make a sacrifice for her family. And in verses 12 and 13, you see that in the second chapter of Joshua. It says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." You know, I shared this testimony back at the Y, but I've shared it with some of you. My mom, who she believed for many years that my dad would go to church. My dad worked 6 days a week on Sunday. He felt like that was his rest day. So my mom was more of the spiritual leader in our household. She would take us to church, me and my brothers, every Sunday. She would come home. Not once did I see her openly complain about my dad not going to church. She just continued believing that God would bring about the change. And so one day she decided she no longer was going to go to the church where she had been faithful, where she had served, where her family was. But she decided to take a risk. She said, "I'm going to step outside the boat because I believe the God that I serve can change this situation." So she decided to join a church that was my dad's family church, a church that he did not attend, a church that was small in numbers, a church that we, my brothers and I, hated to go to because it was just a bunch of old people at the church. But my mom said, no, I believe God is going to bring about this change. It didn't happen the next Sunday. It didn't happen the next year. But it did happen. My dad started going to church when I was in college. Years before we started even going to that church, he started going to church. Then the next thing you know, he becomes a deacon in the church. Y'all, God can do it. If you are asking God, I want to see my husband at church with me every Sunday, he can do it. Take a risk. Just step outside of the box. Help him. Guide him there. Don't fuss at him, but guide him there. He can do it. Now my mom is calling my dad saying, when are you coming home? Because he's the last person to leave church every Sunday. She beats him home. But God is able to do it. We have to be willing to take a risk, just like that softball player. When she steps in that box, there are pitchers that are throwing some serious heat. Those pitches are coming in there fast. And some of those pitches are wild pitches. And sometimes you might get hit, but that's okay. Be ready. Take the risk, because God can do it. He is victorious. And then the last thing I saw in this was that expectant faith means that we have to be patient. You know, Joy had talked about that be persistent in the producing. You be persistent in what you're doing, but be patient in what God is doing. And we have to be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, Rahab, after she made this covenant, if you will, with the spies, and she kept her word, she didn't tell anyone where they were. She told them how to get out, and she told them to wait 3 days by the river. And they waited 3 days by the river, and then the whole nation of Israel had to cross the Jordan River into Jericho, where Rahab's family lived, before they would eventually overtake the land. They were overtaking the land because Rahab's inhabitants, where she lived, they were an evil nation. They were an evil people. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so God said to Joshua, you are going to overtake them. You are going to overtake them because they're not living according as they should. So Rahab led them out, and this took time. It says when they, in chapter 6, early on in chapter 6, it says that once they crossed over the Jordan River, they still, for 7 days, they marched around the city for 7 days. And that's the story of Jericho, how the walls came tumbling down. And even in the midst of all that time, Rahab waited. You know, are we good at waiting? Even when God tells us, I will spare you. He's already told you what's going to happen. But sometimes we get so busy, we try to do things on our own accord and on ourselves. But we have to rely on the strength that God gives to us. Even though the walls came tumbling down, she waited. She was patient. Sometimes God will deliver you in the midst of destruction. Some of us, you might be going through some destruction right now, and you're looking for that glimpse of hope. But keep waiting. Wait on the Lord. Be still. Wait patiently. Be of good courage and know that God will fight the battle for you. He's already promised it to you. It's already done. There's nothing else that we need to do other than believe that He can do it. You know, I talked about this softball player, and I started with this image of the softball player, and I want to go back to the softball player because Yes, we have to have that belief that we can do it. And we have to be willing to take a risk. And we also have to be patient in that process. But even withstanding all of that, you see, when the softball player steps into that batter's box, there's some preparation she has done. There's some gear that is needed. If she goes up to bat without a bat, she might believe that she can do it, but she doesn't have those tools that she needs. She needs that helmet for that protection. If she goes up to bat without a helmet, one, the ump's going to say, get your helmet, but she needs that protection when she takes a risk. Cleats on her feet so she can run in the dirt. If we don't have the tools that we need when we are stepping into the batter's box, it's all for nothing. We need some important tools because y'all, like Joy says every week, we have made the enemy mad. And so when you make him mad, he's coming right after you. And he's coming after you with the things that he knows is going to get you off course. So how do you withstand all that? Well, you got to have the full armor of God. Ephesians 6 and 10. It tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So therefore, we need to put on the full armor of God. When the enemy comes, when evil comes, so that you can stand your ground after you have done everything to stand, you've got to stand firm with the belt of truth. You know, that belt of truth, what does a belt do? It holds you up. If you don't have this truth, this word, you can't be held up. You're always going to fall down to your knees because you don't have this truth buckled around you. You need the breastplate of righteousness, and that's covering your heart to guide your heart and to guard your heart in place. And your feet, they must be fitted with the readiness of peace that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which allows you to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, when you in softball are coming up to the bat, the pitcher's job is to strike you out. That's what she's trying to do. She's trying to strike you out. And that's the same thing that the devil is trying to do. He is trying to strike you out. But you have got to apply expectant faith to believe that you have a shield that can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you don't have any armor, then you cannot withstand the battles that you are going through. You know, like I said last week, I really loved how we laid it all at the cross. And I was reminded of that song, that hymn we sang, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. And it was there by faith that I received my sight, my spiritual eyes. And so now I see, and now I am happy all the day. Expectant faith means that we are on fire for the Lord because we're happy that we don't have to stay in the same place we are. We're happy that we don't have to live in the past of whatever someone said to us that said you weren't beautiful or you can't make it or you're not worth anything or you're never going to amount to anything. We don't have to stay in that same place because we have expectant faith. And you know, the world will make you think that you cannot overcome your situation. The world will make you think that there is no hope. You see, the world thought Jesus' death was going to be final. The world thought that they had won. But no, God has the last word. He has the final word. So Jesus won the victory. And there's a song that we sing at church that I love about the victory and about Jesus having the victory and that death has been overcome. And today, I want us to just have a moment just to worship God and to just we're going to sing that song, but I really want to speak to you in that moment and say that if you have a situation that looks like death, it looks like my marriage is falling apart and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. That might be you, or maybe it's just you dealing with something with yourself. Maybe you are struggling with something that you can't just shake, you can't let go of. But know that Jesus has overcame death. So that death situation can be life for you. And that you have to just have enough expectant faith. Believe that God can make a change. Take a sacrifice. Make a sacrifice. And through your sacrifice, it's showing obedience to God, that you trust Him, that you're not saying, no, God, you're not in control. No, God, I'm not in control, but you're in control, God. And be patient. Patient enough to know that God will do it. So, Anne, if you want to start the song, just use this time. We're going to play the song. Anne is going to play the song. But if you feel led to pray, if our prayer team leaders want to go, if you want to pray, use this time to pray. But also, if you want to use this time to just worship and to just boast in the Lord that Jesus has won the victory, that death has been defeated, that I no longer have to be in the state that I was in.